Thank you. That had to do, for those of you who are in the room, with my fumbling. I had missaved some of my files, so we won't see anything that moves, but I hope that the explanations give you some idea of what we did and that communicates some of it was not the main portion of my talk, but I was using it to illustrate what our project has been about. We have had a seven-year now project that has been looking at medical student education, really following along with what Dr. Marks has talked about, quite wonderfully, really. They're doing different things, but they fit together quite well. So we're a project at Tufts University with my colleague Ashley Dugan at Boston College, and we've been looking at the issues around standardized patient educators working with medical students to help them understand some of the dimensions of living with a disability and healthcare with a disability. And so part of what we're looking at today with the project and my presentation is the idea of translating disability research into practice. And as many of us know, that the idea of how do we identify dimensions of bridging the quality chasm for people with disabilities and linking and expanding physician perspectives is really what we have turned our attentions to. We feel that from our project here that we have some innovations that can teach medical students significant information that will be essential for providing disability particular services, and that allow medical students to reflect upon their communication and then actually learn. And so the dimensions that I'm going to present to you today are really about this process of learning. How do we know that learning has occurred? As educators, we can educate, we can present things, but how do we then drill down to understand what those concepts are? And so this idea of really supporting physicians to understand that relationship-centered care is, and the communication that goes into that care is fundamental to really making strides in increasing health outcomes, that has to be based upon foundations of expanded attitudes, as I think that you really talked about, Beth, very clearly. We know that the current evidence shows us that communication is related to health outcomes, that attitudes form this foundation, and that relationship-centered care really changes how we can strive, the impact that we can make. As I said, the quality chasm around disability is certainly that the population needs has increased needs, yet there are decreased services, there are barriers, and that there are less comprehensive services, and that there are poor outcomes along throughout the spectrum of care. And as I said, those attitudes and expectations that physicians have about what their patients can do, what is possible in terms of the delivery of care are really fundamental to what we develop in terms of outcomes. The learning theories around education is that we really think that with education we can change and we can reduce and eliminate the health disparities for persons with disability. But as I've indicated, education itself is insufficient for behavioral change on the part of healthcare providers. And that when we look at adult theories of education, what has to happen is that that the knowledge, the skills have to be internalized, and that self-reflection is really a necessary component for that to occur successfully. That without that reflection process, that people do not take in the information, and that those attitudes do not change, and that the knowledge then does not become accessible. So the timeline of our project has really been evolving. We started developing this project in 2001, operationalized it in 2002. We did some program, the evaluation and assessment, my colleague Dr. Linda Long-Belil in 2004, and then we've been working on this more analytic process of analysis of the interactions since 2006. I have many acknowledgments for this process. Our standardized patient educators who are listed here, I will show some slides of Betsy Layton, who some of you may know as a longtime disability advocate and who unfortunately passed away several years ago. My colleague Paula Minahan was really instrumental in developing this project, and she is in the audience today. Thank you so much, Paula. The project was really around the educational intervention, where we developed a standardized patient exercise, which we placed within the family medicine clerkship for our medical students. We had all of our medical students do this now. We've had, as I said, 7 years of this. And our students, some of them have said this is the single most positive experience in all of medical school. So we take that as high compliments. But we've been fortunate to be able to go on and look at this further. We do this on the final day. All students do it. All students do one exercise and they observe another one. Our goals were to provide students the experience of caring for a person with a disability, not just a specialist would be expected to care, but primary care physicians and across all specialties. And we wanted to sensitize our students to recognize that people with disabilities need both no difference in care and special consideration. And that tension is really part of what we feel we are able to communicate, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Part of our process of recruitment, we put notices up, disseminated information asking for people with a visually apparent disability. And we thought we were recruiting two SPEs, and we ended up having so many people that we chose eight and have now gone on to train an additional seven more. We have trained a person to act as a patient, to role play the role of a patient. We give them details of a long case and allow people to make some modifications and embellish that from their own lives. Our SPEs play their own disability and include that as part of their educational process. After the role play of 12 to 15 minutes, then the SPE provides patient-oriented feedback to the student. Dr. Minahan has written this up in Disabilities Quality Quarterly. We developed this standardized patient exercise with an advisory committee of people with disabilities, educators with and without disabilities, and people who gave services for people with disabilities and family members of people with disabilities. And that was a really phenomenal model to work from. I think it really expanded everybody's ideas and understanding. Paul Kahn both was on the advisory committee and then became Paul is a playwright and a disability advocate in Massachusetts. And our SPEs all helped to design this case, which has an interaction focus, which is really designed to elicit disability questions and comments. the disability is visually apparent. One of the challenges in developing standardized patient educators in disability is that how do you have somebody represent all disabilities? And I think that we really felt, with the help of many people, we developed this concept that we have a case that is able to incorporate many different kinds of disability, from a person who is blind and has an assist dog, always using the assist dog on one side, to multiple sclerosis, to spinal cord injuries, to many, many different disabilities. The student instructions are to take a focused history and to negotiate a treatment plan. There's no physical exam involved. We developed the idea of using the element of surprise so that the student, wasn't warned that they were going to have a person with a disability be their patient. They were just simply told there was a patient, again, about mainstreaming. This is the doorway instructions. This is the opening statement. I'm having shoulder pain and I'm not going back to my previous doctor. The shoulder pain is from tendonitis. And the RSP is using many different forms of assistance. This is the beginning scenario. After the scenario occurs, the role play, there's this 12 to 15 minute feedback. How did it go for you is the initial question we have our SPEs ask the students. Our project that I'm going to talk about today is the IRB approval. We videotaped all of our students, not all, but we had a 92% participation rate from July to June, both our nutrition case halfway through the clerkship and our disability case. Video recordings, we gave the student the DVD. The feedback sessions were transcribed for this project, and the transcript was reviewed. We identified four primary learning themes from this work: learning about the relationship of disability and the treatment plan, learning about disability itself, a self-reflection of attitudes about disability, and then somewhat removed from disability, but I think the idea of disability nestled within the concept of learning medicine itself. We established reliability, we had consensus about what we were seeing, and then we took those four themes and categorized them, and so I'm going to show you some. These are the four themes, and then we categorized them. So these are much smaller than you're going to be able to read, but the idea that we created the initial theme and then the sub-themes out of this. So I'm going to take just the far one on the extreme right and look at the one that talks about relating disability to So it's really how one's disability impacts the treatment plan, and what we saw was that we could divide this theme into the idea that medical students. The idea was that the students were able to relate the disability to the presenting issue or the chief complaint. The idea that the person had pain and that had disability that needed to modify how the treatment plan was developed. So medical students who didn't address the disability, we found that what they did was that during the feedback session, they specifically asked SPEs how to approach the disability, or alternatively, students who did make the connection about disability and the presenting issue, they approach the ideas differently. I have some examples of these types of ways that this was approached. So, as an example, medical student self-reflection with the SPE encouragement. I'm so limited in my knowledge of tendonitis as a student that I never had the chance to think about the role of disability. SPE, what exactly is shoulder tendonitis? So here's the SPE pimping the student. the medical student, and it was an inflammation of the shoulder, an overuse injury often associated with repetitive motion, SPE, like using a wheelchair or crutches, as the medical student. I never thought of that as a potential cause of strain. So during the feedback session, this is the idea that you, if you discover something, you learn it far better than if you than if you're told the information. Here's another example. So the medical student is self-reflecting, but here is observers giving us encouragement. Did you think about asking why the patient was in a wheelchair, says the faculty observer? Medical student, no, to be honest, no. But looking back on it, I should have just approached the subject and asked why was she in the wheelchair. Student observer, he does have braces on his legs, and there could be challenges at home, things that are more difficult to do because of the combination of tendonitis and use of braces. Medical student, I didn't give it, meaning the leg braces, much notice. I did not think the disability and the complaint of shoulder injury were related. I was just, it just didn't seem 100% relevant to her shoulder pain. So those are definitely self-reflections. Alternatively, so what the students who approached it in this manner then would turn around and do would say, as an example, here are some of the comments. The medical student, how would you recommend that I ask about that disability? Or another medical student, I'm not really sure when the right time would be to say something like, tell me more about your disability. Would that be right at the beginning as soon as you mention it? Or would that be when you were going over the treatment plan? So what clearly goes on is that the students are uncomfortable with the vocabulary of disability, even though we ask the SPEs to come up with four different mentions of disability so that you're handing the language to them in the interaction. Physicians don't do a good job of this generally, and our medical students don't 100% obviously either. So the students, another example, students connected, this is now when the students realized that disability and the presenting issue were related, so this is a different group of students, mutually exclusive. Students connected that disability and the presenting issue were related and realized the importance of asking about disability. So here are some of the medical students' words. I think a patient like this, where the shoulder pain has such an important impact on her life and mobility and stuff like that and independence, it should be a little bit more aggressive about treating the problem. Medical student. I thought about asking about the wheelchair, and for whatever reason, I sort of focused on the shoulder, but it's important to get to because if it is affecting his shoulder. Medical student, the disability definitely throws us for a loop in terms of, you know, there's obviously going to be a different way we have to manage the shoulder pain, and it just puts you on your toes a little bit. This is again, the whole vocabulary across the different specifics. We talked about disability per se, another diagram of that. We talked about attitudes about disability. The last one in terms of assumptions and dispelling inaccurate beliefs. I made some assumptions, this is the second one down now. I made some assumptions that I probably shouldn't have made. Like I assumed you were living with your mother, and I don't know if I was patronizing or not. Medical student, I've definitely learned not to assume. For example, the patient that I was interviewing was talking about walking, and he was sitting in a wheelchair, and I was thinking, why did I assume he couldn't walk? And that really impacted me. And the last on this list, medical student, instead of saying limiting, I'm going to say the disability is affecting his life because it doesn't have to be a limitation. And we have this way of thinking that makes us believe it, the disability, is limiting all the time. It could just be effective. Okay, so that's the idea. This idea that the evidence from this analysis, I hope, has showed you that knowledge of the disabilities is certainly comes through in an exercise like this. Importance of the disability, a particular disability, assistive technologies, information about how to manage things. But it also allows us to think about the thoughtfulness and elicitation of how communication goes in terms of assessment of parameters of functioning, and it allows us to see how students are able to redirect their feelings of awkwardness to constructive ways of viewing disability. And I think that, well, maybe I didn't show it well here, that we also saw evidence that the students really grew and that they saw that persons with disabilities are experts in their own disability and can interact with a patient's previous experience in navigating the healthcare system. And so I think there are some limitations here. We hope to go on and continue developing this. We see that that it's very important for physicians to develop the competencies that are needed to understand and value the culture of disability and to encourage self-advocacy for persons with disability and to emphasize the interdependence between the patient experience and doctor experience. We think that this project helps to understand, to begin to frame some of these evidence-based theory, the theory that's needed to develop increased understanding in both the fields of communication and medical education. And we hope to look through at more nonverbal behaviors. Thank you very much.
These are just wonderful presentations. I feel like each one of them could be a half-day workshop. I'm sure you're feeling the same way. Our next presenter is Dr. David Holleran.